Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Of the growing conservative conversation. You can also find others who are part of the conservative conversation. One of those places you can find them is here on Blog Talk Radio. One of them is Samuel Samford, and you can find his show in two ways. One of those is through here, and it's Constitutional Conservatives Unite, and that is from 10 p.m. to midnight. And you can also find him on a Facebook app called Newt Now. It's real easy to find. You just go to the search engine on Facebook and type in Newt Now. It's one word, N-E-W-T-N-O-W. And you will find a series of shows, including mine, Samuel Samford's, as well as Charlotte Dively's Pray USA. And also you will find Mark Prasik's shows, which are a live video chat, which is both piped in through Blog Talk Radio and Ustream, and generally that runs from midnight to 2. There's an also pre-show that they do. So I recommend, suggest checking some of those out, and that would be appreciated. Now, one thing I'd like to talk about that song, the opening song, is you can find that, the video to that, and it's a very, very telling video for what this show is about and what I'm about, especially in this, you know, election season before the GOP convention. And you can find it on my website, and you can find a link to the website on the homepage of the homepage on Blog Talk Radio. It's I believe it's somewhere under the title of the of tonight's show. So if you'd like to check that out, please feel free to do so. You know, and you could find the video among other videos on there. Now tonight is the second night in a series that I'm putting out, is Defeat Obama Groups Growing, What They Need to Know. And Republicans are starting to ask themselves what they can do in order to help in the defeat of Barack Obama. Now, last night, you can listen to last night's show in the archives also, if you feel like you want to go back and check it out and listen to what we've talked about last night. But we'll continue tonight, you know, from last night. And one of the things that you might have been hearing much about is a brokered convention. Now, I know a lot of people, once they hear those words, fear gets struck into them because they've heard so many bad things about a brokered convention from probably the so-called conservative media. And I can explain later, if anyone in the chat wants to put in why I call it so-called conservative media, that is fine. And speaking of that, if anyone would like to make any comments or questions, they can go ahead and put it in the chat, and I will be more than happy to address whatever questions or comments you may have. You also can call into the show, and the call-in number for the guests is area code 347-945-7428. Now, one thing that people might not know about a brokered convention is that brokered conventions are not uncommon. They're not unheard of. They actually have more in history, been more common in the election process than not. And actually, there has been more defeat for the candidates who have not gone through a brokered convention. And one of the ways I like to start the shows, because I think it has both informational and entertainment value, is I like to play some audio clips. Some are longer than others. And I have one here to like to set things off. It gives a description of what a brokered convention is a little bit. And also, the person it's from another show that's got a clip that interviewed Barbara Haney, who is a PhD in one of the things she got a long resume, but one of the things she's a PhD in public policy, as well as worked on some campaigns, notably Sarah Palin. So I will play this clip. Please enjoy. If while you are listening to the clip and you have any questions or have any comments on what you hear, please feel free to chime in into the chat, and I will answer them as it plays. Thank you very much, and enjoy. And then after we play the clip, I will go to some articles that I have, or if there's anyone who has a call or something in chat, then I'll address that instead. But thank you, and here you go.
To our listening audience out there in Sumpter County and beyond, welcome to a Patriot's Voice for Freedom. We the Patriots want to thank you for tuning in to listen to WKFL 1170 AM Kickin' Country. We look forward to providing you with information on those issues we consider of vital and controversial importance, and invite you to join us in our dedication to fighting for the preservation of our country, our Constitution, and our freedom. We ask that you remember and pray for the men and women of the armed forces for their brave sacrifices they make to keep our nation safe from our enemies, both foreign and domestic. Today's show topic is on a subject that many of us are unaware of and many lack knowledge about. We hope to share with you information that will lead to a clearer understanding about what a brokered convention is, and if we do have one, just how it will affect us as American voters. A Patriot's Voice for Freedom is honored to have as our guest speaker today, Barbara Haney. And welcome, Barbara. And before we get started, I would like to introduce you to our Patriot panel. We have online Donna Arthur. Donna is from North Carolina. And Valerie Kelly Bass. Valerie is from Florida. LaMusha Reed, and she is from, where are you from?
Alabama.
I'm from Florida. Stacy Coleman. Stacy, you are from?
Louisa, Kentucky.
Barbara is a private citizen who lives in the woods of Alaska and is a conservative Facebook activist who was impressed by Speaker Gingrich's resume and debate performance. After the Virginia ballot, she worked to get Speaker Gingrich on the ballot in Alaska and went and got signatures to get him on the ballot during a, I guess, below 54 cold snap. This was during the Florida primary. She volunteered to work for her regional primary preference poll. She attended the district convention and was elected district chairman and delegate to the state convention. She attended the state convention and was elected as part of a slate to be one of Alaska's two delegates for Speaker Gingrich. In addition, she has exercised her citizenship assist in the defeat of Governor Tony Knowles and later to assist in the election of Governor Sarah Palin. She worked on several state and local campaigns in the 2010 election cycle, including Governor John Parnell, Joe Miller, Stephen Thompson, and Mike Kelly. When there is not an election underway, she is busy putting in supplies for the winter, expressing her opinions to various political officials on pending legislation, promoting the ideas of free market capitalism, and generally being, in her own words, generally being a pain in the arse to liberals, D-I-R-T-S, all dirts and R-I-N-O's, rhinos. Welcome, Barbara.
Welcome, Barbara.
Hi. I think I'm in the right place. A dirt is a Democrat and a Republican ticket.
Bring on each of our panels to ask you questions later. But what I would like for you to do, if you could start us out, and in layman's terms, to make things very simple for those in our listening audience to understand more about a broker convention. I know I know very little, and I am anxious to learn.
Okay. A broker convention is very simple. It's when they go to the convention, and on the first ballot, the nominee does not have the, quote, presumptive nominee, if there is one, doesn't have enough of a vote lead to be the nominee.
Okay, so on the Republican side, you're saying Mitt Romney.
Right. Well, he would be the presumptive nominee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes there isn't a presumptive nominee. In 1952, going into the convention, Eisenhower had 592 delegates, and Robert Taft had 500, just a little over 500 delegates. That was a dead heat going into that convention. So, you know, there wasn't really a presumptive nominee in the same way. But there's been many instances in history when we have had a, quote, presumptive nominee that blew it big. And starting in 1860, really in the very first Republican convention, you had a nominee who was presumptive nominee and had the, and technically speaking, had the delegates to pull it off on the first ballot. But when he gave this horrendous speech on how wonderful Syria was, or so I keep looking for the text of the speech, and I have yet to find it. But in the accounts of the speech, I've read something about he was talking about how wonderful Syria was and a few other things, and it turned out that he was just not what people thought. And they were furious on the convention floor, and they just started back at anybody, became anybody but Seward. And you had this tall, kind of gawky, quiet guy named Abe Lincoln with a very questionable political past. I mean, he hadn't held a lot of offices. He was pretty quiet. He was kind of tall.
Sounds familiar to me.
Kind of dorky looking. And quiet, thoughtful. Didn't have a Harvard education, didn't have a Princeton. No, Seward had a Princeton education. Abraham Lincoln was self-taught. He was homeschooled, okay? Very deep thinker. I actually spent some years living right down the road from the Lincoln cabin when I lived in Illinois. Rather austere circumstances, but nevertheless, he ended up being a pretty good president. And he was the dark horse candidate. I mean, nobody expected Abe Lincoln to come out. Pardon?
Dark horse candidate. What does that mean for our listening audience?
A dark horse candidate is like somebody you're not even remotely expecting. like, oh, he doesn't have a chance kind of candidate.
Okay.
You know, not very well known, et cetera, all that good stuff. I think there's a lot of fear about brokered conventions because of 1940. And actually, that is not your typical brokered convention at all. So I don't want to talk very much about it, but I can at the end. But if you go back and you look at the history of some of the brokered conventions besides 1860, like, for example, if you take a look in the 1800s, it seemed like almost every other convention was brokered. And so, I mean, there's this general fear about brokered conventions because, you know, you don't know who's going to come out, you don't know who's going to win, and, you know, it could dry up funding sources. But I think a brokered convention is a good thing. You know, in 1876, this guy named Rutherford B. Hayes, okay, he was another what they call a dark horse. He was the last place finisher, okay. This guy named James Blaine was the presumptive nominee. He goes to the convention, he's got the clear majority. There's a few others. There's Oliver Morton from Indiana. There's Benjamin Bristow from Kentucky. There's Roscoe Conkling. That old Roscoe Conkling was a nemesis, was the enemy, sworn enemy of Blaine. And he was not going to let Blaine have it. All right, there was contention between Roscoe Conkling and James Blaine that was infamous. Conkling was your standard New York party boss, okay? And Blaine was former Speaker of the House. And a lot of people think that Blaine and Newt Gingrich are very similar, but actually, besides being Speaker of the House, they really are nothing alike. Blaine would actually, if you look at his policies, he's far more like Ron Paul than he ever would be like Speaker Gingrich. But nevertheless, they go in, they get in there, and it's just, boy, you know, the first ballot comes around, and Blaine doesn't have it. Nobody has it, really. Blaine has the biggest majority. But this poet named James Lowell had been really kind of taken with what Rutherford B. Hayes had talked about. And he started working the convention floor, and he got Conkling interested. He got some of those delegates interested. And at the end, on the seventh ballot, Hayes had it. Hayes got the nomination. And he went on to win the election. And,
wow, that is fantastic. Thank you for that information.
Okay, folks. Now, that was just a taped interview, just a part of the interview. So, hey, Virginia, I want to say thank you for coming in, as well as Donna. I'd like to see you guys both come in here, and also New Orleans, wake up. Thank you for very much for coming in, and for the guests. I don't see your name, but I'd also like to welcome you as well. Virginia, I'll just, for your benefit, if you'd like to visit the new website, I have a website up there you can visit at your leisure. Now, I set up the show with that yesterday just to give a little idea of what the history, or how there is a history of broker conventions, and that it's not something that's out of the norm, nor is it something to be feared. Actually, the reverse is true, because you can go back and see that Republican nominees who won the nomination on the first ballot, and they were not incumbents, such as what we're seeing to, you know, in this election cycle, they end up losing the general election. I mean, you have, you know, as she mentioned, James Blaine in 1984, and in 1936 you had Alf Landon, and 1944 you had Dewey, and in 1948, and then 1960 the Richard Nixon, 1964 Goldwater. Everybody knows about, you know, Goldwater, and you know how much fear about broker conventions people had for that, and or actually even, you know, conservatives. But also even more recently in modern, you know, what people would consider maybe more modern times, is 2008 and 1996, and when we're speaking of modern times, okay, what are both McCain and Bob Dole? Well, they were both, you know, they're both moderates. And that's the same thing that we see today. Now, I have here, let's see if there's another reason why I started up with that clip, as I also have a article here I'd like to share from Barbara Haney. And what we have here, let's scroll up, is, if my computer will let me scroll up, it's called Right on Weekly, in a blog, and I will put a link in the chat for the people who are able to get it. So I will put a link in there. So if anyone in chat would like to follow the article as I go, feel free to do so. And I see someone has a no, Phyllis. There we go. Thank you for the link. Is that affiliate with the Newt Now app? No, the website itself is the website itself is by itself. However, there is a link under the show description of the show, or about the show section, or the about the show page. There is a link to the Conservative Conversation, which is a list of some of those who are on that Facebook app. But the website itself is a standalone website, and it's for this show. But I do have a link to the Conservative Conversation, which you can find there on the Newt Now. So I hope that answered the question. I want to welcome Red Tracy coming in. Can't get any sound. Can you hear now, Red Tracy? I'll put something in the chat. So. Okay, but can you hear me now? Okay, if someone could just say yes or no, whether they can hear me now. On there, I appreciate it. Now I can, thanks, awesome. Well, great, thank you very much. Well, if anyone would like to chime in or have any questions about this article that I'm going to read, go ahead and feel the chime in, or for the new people in here, the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. And I started off the show with that audio clip of Barbara Haney being interviewed, and as I said in the chat, that I have also interviewed her on this show, and you can find that show in the archives if someone would like to listen to that interview in its entirety. And she was there for, you know, the majority of the show, so if you'd like to hear it, go ahead and enjoy and check it out. Now, the link that I put in the chat was from the Right On Weekly, and the name of the title of I guess, a series they're doing is our GOP history. And what it covered is the title of the article is Broker Conventions Are the Norm, Not the Exception. And on the link, if you've chosen to go there, it does have a video link, I believe. And it talks a little bit about Barbara. And so I'll go ahead and put this here for the benefit of the people in who's going to listen to this live now and the people who will listen in the archives later. And for the people who are going to listen or are now listening to this in the archives, I thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the show. Now, it says, this is an audiovisual presentation by Barbara Haney. She is a GOP historian and is a graduate from the University of Notre Dame with her PhD in economics, public finance, after she completed her BA in economics, minor political science. She also has a BA in speech communication and MA in economics. This is in 1983 from Eastern Illinois University, Charleston, Illinois. She also has, I believe, a PhD in public policy. So it says she has quite the bona fides of a great political pundit. I encourage you to share this lesson in history to appeal to all our delegates, good conscience, if any remain. Be sure to add Barbara on the social network connections you will find at the end of the presentation. So I will put these out just in case, you know, that this was put to somebody directly. But onto the body of the article is this. It says, a word from Ride On Weekly. We need the convention to go to, and this, and let me, okay, I'm going to digress again, I apologize. But the reason for this show is to inform Republicans how we can beat Obama. And the reason why I'm bringing up a broker convention is because if you look at history, especially with the dates and the names I just gave you previously, history shows that, one, a moderate Republican has not won in a general election in 40 years. And then also a Republican has not won even beyond that without having a broker convention. Now, the broker conventions, I mean, conventions anymore just seem to be like beauty pageants, right? I mean, you have all the pomp and circumstance, but nothing really serious. And that's what we need. And that's why we're having, such difficulties in winning. Because we're not putting up, and when I mean we, I'm talking about the Republicans are not putting up the best candidate to go up against, to go up against the opponent, in this case the Democrat, or in this case Obama. I mean, McCain wasn't the best candidate to go up against Obama in 2008, and Mitt Romney certainly isn't. Just by the point numbers I did on the show yesterday, and you can listen to it for further details, is I took some polls, national polls, and I took the numbers and I extrapolated those and I put it into a map, an electoral college map, okay, an interactive electoral college map. And what I did is if the election was yesterday, Obama would win by a large margin. Unfortunately, let me make this disclaimer for all the people who will be listening to this on archive, and listening live, who say that I'm somehow an Obama supporter. I'm not. I want Obama to lose. I want him to lose, but I do not think Romney is the person to do that. I think Romney is a failure, and only through a brokered convention can we get a candidate. My pick is Newt Gingrich. I mean, I am a Newt Gingrich supporter, and you can also see that on the website, and how I do support a brokered convention in order to get a Newt Gingrich nominee, but I'm also not completely closed off to the idea of a Ron Paul or maybe even a Santorum nomination, because I'm still in the anybody but Romney camp. Because I believe anyone, especially someone who has true conservatism at their core, is the one to beat Barack Obama. And Romney is just a pretender. He's just a conservative pretender. And what I could go off in so many different tangents. Maybe I will later, but I'll get to this article. And it says, we need the convention to go to a brokered process specifically for the currency of solution, not the leading money candidate, and are depending on Alabama, okay, important, Alabama to cast the first vote for a not Romney. It is my position Mitt Romney could have won the election fair and square, and he chose not to do so by breaking the rules by collusion and conspiracy with key RNC leadership, such as what happened in Florida, that happened the moment he saw Newt win in South Carolina. It is also my belief, this isn't mine, I'm reading from the article, Okay, this is, I believe, from Barbara Haney. And so this is what you put. It is also my belief that if he is a man of clear conscience, then Mitt would have opened the books on his investments from the time he became governor to date to allow the public to see for themselves if his investments were tied to his own legislation. That's interesting. Okay, I'm going to go through the whole this part of the article and address these notes because they need to be addressed as they come up. And we'll get through this and how it ties into a broker convention. Okay. He has chosen not to do so, therefore winning by rule breaking. I apologize. I should never have my home phones in here. Sorry about that, folks. Let me take care of that. I had another phone go off in the office. So, or my studio, or what have you. So, anyway, let me get back to the article, okay? Therefore, winning by rule-breaking is merely presumption, and that presumption can be knocked down by delegates of good moral fiber, if we have any. I have no clue if we have enough that do or not, okay? I only know one. Oh, this isn't Barbara Haney talking. This is the person who's doing the blog. It says, Barbara Haney, who happens to be a delegate from Alaska, she has presented the historical fact in both pictograph and local radio broadcast. It is some of the most interesting fact about a republic and a true testament that the battlefield of ideas has been fought on the floor of the GOP convention more than once. When fought if presumption stands, then the candidate is ready to bear, or the best candidate is brought forward. Competition at every level creates sharp as steel candidates. The Road presents Barbara Haney's presentation of our GOP history. Okay, that's the beginning of the article. And I guess it wasn't written by her specifically. It was written by, you know, the person on the blog. And one person put in the chat that this is Virginia, and it says, that's because the GOP has been infiltrated by the establishment, liberals, and socialists. Yes, especially when we're talking about socialists, we're talking about the corporate socialists, corporatists, that I believe that, especially the elites and the RNC and the establishment, I believe, also has been infiltrated by that, yes. As well as liberals, that's one of the reasons why they propped up Mitt Romney. And there's so many more reasons why I can go into, but I'll try to stay on topic. Okay. So I'll scroll down to where she starts talking about, like, the great things come from a broker convention. It has a picture of presumptive, not if you're on the, I'll give her the chat for people who, I'm sorry, I'll say it on the air for the people who cannot be in chat or those who are going to be in the archive can go to this and look at this later. And it's writeonweekly.com/our GOP history. Now I'll spell that out. Write, writeonweekly.com/our-GOP-history. HISTORY/. And then you can find this article, this blog. And so it has a presumptive nominee, actual nominee, and it has the numbers here. Let me scroll down to where it's got some writing. Okay, there's a clip, and at the top of the clip says, selling for ballot unity appears, unity to appear like USS Grant is
perfect.
So at the end of the first ballot, this is talking about Dwight D. Eisenhower versus Taft. So at the end of the first ballot, it was clear the convention was headed for a head-to-head deadlock. In an effort to avoid multiple ballots, floor and delegate negotiations led to vote shifting before the close of the first ballot. Ike's team was able to garner the support of most of the non-Taft delegates. And okay, just give some history here, but it's fascinating. So that won't bore some of the people with the details. It's a lot, you know. It's not boring, but unless you have the visual in front of you, you know, just hearing it is, you know, just not as effective. Okay, is that better, Virginia? I'm sorry if I sounded muffled there. I apologize. Thank you. Thank you for that input. So I guess the article gives more, you know, history of what of. Let's see. So let me scroll down here. Okay, just talk about the 1884 saw the first election of a Democrat as president of the United States since the election of 1856. So Democrat Grover Cleveland's policies would precipitate the worst depression in the U.S. history to date. Well, we're not in a depression, I guess, but a deep recession is what we're in. So the thing about this article, it also has some video clips which are interesting, and some more history here. I'm scrolling down. Hopefully people got the, you're able to see these clips. Okay, and at the end, as I said, I mean, there's a ton of information, which, and there's a lot of pictures and captions and things of that nature on here. So if people could go, and you know, I gave the link, so if people could go on there and check it out, that'd be great. You know, they don't have to do it at this time. They can do it another time. So towards the end, oh, hey, there's a link here. At the end, it says, our nation calls to our delegates. Now, that's, you know, I'll read this, but I want to put a little forward in front of it. Is this show is for what can people do? Okay, New Orleans Wake Up has put a question in here on chicken chat. However, that if he can link that to what we were talking about this evening about brokered conventions and what the Republicans, you know, need to do in order to defeat Obama in November, if you can find a link, not a link as an online link, but a way to segue that into our discussion, then that's fine. Then I'll address it. But that's what we're going to stay on topic about today, is what Republicans can do. And what I'm about to read is what was suggested in this article for people to do. So, or at least, you know, an allusion, you know, alluding to it. It says, the conscience of this nation is calling the delegates, particularly those heading to the Republican convention in Tampa, to listen to the voice of your conscience and ensure the interest of the people of this republic is upheld. Rince Priebus nor Mitt Romney himself have any real power that you do not hand to them. They have no power in deciding if that the convention moves to a brokered convention process. They will indeed say anything to make you think it is a done deal. Mitt Romney did not show us his best side during the primary process, but by refusing to submit to the transparent process of showing the people his investments were above board and not linked to legislation he signed to law. Those who feel that they have the right to private transactions when seeking public office might see their presumption denied by delegate vote, with or without loyal signings. Then, lying about the other candidates and breaking RNC stated rules, just to get ahead, might be seen as, I will not be denied, now talk about, you know, this coming from Romney, I will not be denied the man to control and manipulate the party. That is not my view of a trustworthy man, and only compare to what we have now. Our delegates can ensure the best candidate is put forward. And I'm going to digress here a little bit, but it's on point, is that, or I'm going to move away from the article, but this is on point, is that that is the job of the delegates. The job of the delegates is, you know, not to necessarily vote the, you know, way that the primaries came out, but their job and their duty, okay, their duty, and people talk about, oh, well, what about the ethics of it? Well, their ethical duty is to pick the candidate that is the best to go up against the opponent, in this case, Barack Obama, for the Republicans, for the Republicans to go up against Barack Obama, okay? Our delegates can ensure the best candidate is put forward that might not turn out to be Mitt Romney. It says, this talks about Barbara. Barbara makes the case very clear in this presentation. And part of these presentations, it is lengthy, and I don't want to take up all the show with it. But there was audio clips and video clips, and perhaps at some other time I will download these in order to make some more audio of them so I can share them to the audience. And perhaps I'll actually also, you know, put them on my website so people can view them there as well. Or at least maybe I can put a link one of the things, when I'm going to have a link page. I don't have a link page on the website right now, but it is in the works for me to include that as well. And then one of the links actually I was looking to put on that page is this one that we're referring to now. So it says, Barbara makes clear the presentation over and over that non-incumbent presumptive does not win and usually signals huge embarrassing losses when presumption is upheld. Presumption is also a signal of agenda. However, it becomes very clear that brokered choice always wins. Let me repeat that. However, it becomes very clear that brokered choice always wins. Now I'm going to move away from the article and I'll finish the rest, is that one of the things that the Bard's Logic political talk and much of the conservative conversation promote is people to do the research themselves. So I really advise people to go ahead and suggest that, suggest that people check this information for ourselves, because one of the things at the conservative conversation, including, you know, my show, is that we think that, you know, and I think that, I won't speak for them, but, you know, I'm just going by, you know, the conversations we had, is that I think that one of the problems that America has gotten itself into, and the Republicans specifically, is that we've relied too much on the mainstream media, okay, and that's the general public, but the Republicans especially have relied so much on the mainstream media, not the mainstream media, I'm sorry, the so-called conservative media, such as Fox News, and I spell that F-A-U-X, News, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and people of that. They relied so much that on them, and they knew it, and they turned around and used your trust of relying on them for accurate, you know, conservative perspective, and they failed, and they did it purposefully. They purposely fell behind the RNC and the establishment to prop up Romney. Okay, so it behooves us, in my opinion, to do our own research and check these things out ourselves, because then, you know, you got to be careful with where you get the, and be mindful of where you get your, you know, information, and always look who is the one putting out what kind of agenda they might have. But when you do your own research, one agenda you know you could be sure of is your own agenda. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, back to the article, excuse me, it says, the practice of delegates needs to be returned to the people's choice. It is not the executive chair's decision who represents the Republican voter of a state. It is the voters who decide. Make sure that decision is turned into your hands in your state. And what they mean by it's the voter's choice, people are like, they'll hear that, they're like, see, it's the voter's choice. That's why we should go by the popular vote. That's why we should go by what the primary said. Well, you know, in this case, and I would say in many as history pans out, is that that very well could be true, but did the people really have a choice? Do the people really have a choice? I mean, is your choice clear? Is, you know, when you have a candidate or even an entire party that is using media manipulation, media blackouts of certain candidates, outright lies, outright chicanery, to, you know, prop up, you know, one candidate to try to get people to put out the false notion that a candidate is inevitable, not only to be the nominee, but is inevitable that this is the only candidate that can beat Obama. And frankly, we've been hearing that for, you know, since the very beginning of the primary process. Now, it's not turning out to be that way, is it? No. You know, Romney's not it. As I said, going from those poll numbers yesterday and tying them into the Electoral College count, Romney would get wiped out. And one thing I mentioned earlier in the article is they were mentioning, they're mentioning about, you know, Romney with, you know, his tax returns. And it says that I got a very short clip here, it's only about a minute and 16 seconds, that a lot of Republicans are asking about Romney and his tax returns.
More and more Republicans agree that Mitt Romney has not released more tax returns because he has something to hide.
The costs of not releasing the returns are clear. Therefore, he must have calculated that there are higher costs in relationship.
And he's gonna, there's obviously something there, because if there was nothing there, he would say, have at it.
So there's clearly a problem with the tax returns. Otherwise, he would release, you know, 10 years of tax returns.
If he had 20 years of great, clean, everything's fine, it'd all be out there.
And more Republicans are calling for Mitt Romney to be straight with the American people and release his tax returns.
Put out as much information as you can. Even if you don't release 12 years worth of tax returns, at least 3, 4, 5.
And here's what he should do. He should release the tax returns tomorrow. It's crazy. You've got to release 6, 8 years of back tax returns.
Should he return, release the tax returns?
I would.
I was asked today that question, do you think that Governor Romney should release his tax returns? And I said, I do.
But what did the one Republican who had 23 years of Mitt Romney's tax returns do in 2008?
Governor Sarah Palin of the great state of Alaska.
He chose Sarah Palin. What does John McCain know that the American people don't?
Okay, folks, and that's just one of the problems that's been popping up with Romney. I mean, he had to be pushed to toughen up his stance on Obama. He doesn't show any plans of what he's going to do for the economy, what he's going to do for health care, you know, things of that nature. You know, there's talk about him not letting Sarah Palin, which, you know, he probably should, has Sarah Palin at the convention, not that he really has any control about it. But let's say that he doesn't want Sarah Palin there, or Newt Gingrich for that matter, or Ron Paul speaking. I contend that the reason why he does not, or would not, I should say, have them at the convention, because could you imagine, think of this scenario, we're at the convention, okay, you have Newt Gingrich up there talking about conservatism, conservative values, okay, what, you know, what he has accomplished, and that, you know, what the Republican Party, under, especially under him, has accomplished, and the whoever the presumptive nominee is, you know, they go last. So could you imagine him having Palin up there, I mean, Palin up there talk about conservative, you know, new, and Ron Paul up there talk about conservatism or libertarian, and then at the end you get Mitt Romney talk about anticlimactic. I mean, anticlimactic on an embarrassing scale, an embarrassing scale. Because one thing that we know, that conservatives know, is that Romney does not have conservatism at his core. He doesn't. He doesn't have it at his core. That's why, you know, shortly after Newt Gingrich was, you know, suspended the campaign, he was pretty much the face of the Republican Party. You know, of course, they seen that, you know, what that tactic was doing was just making Newt look better and better and more attractive now that the media black. And notice, you know what, and that's what I mean about media blackout, what they're talking about earlier about what the Romney campaign and the RNC and establishment done, okay, in collusion with Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Sean, maybe not Sean Hannity to the extent, but, you know, Glenn Beck, is that you hardly heard anything of Newt Gingrich. Okay, because, and think about that, you get that into people's minds, and they don't hear something about a candidate, they think there must be, well, wow, this candidate must not, you know, must not have much going on, we're not ever hearing about him. But as soon as, you know, you heard more from Newt Gingrich after he suspended his campaign than you did while he was running. What did that tell you? That was purposely done by the RNC and the establishment. And do you think that's going to be victory for Republicans to beat Obama? Let me tell you, it's not. It's not. And, you know, that's not the way you're going to get a good check. It says, the establishment doesn't want anyone on the podium that would upstage Romney. Well, you know what, there's not going to be, thank you, Virginia. Let me tell you, they're not going to have very many people being able to speak then. I can't imagine too many people who cannot upstage Romney. They might want to have Romney first. And then have, you know, and then build up the momentum second to where, you know, you have you know, a true speaker get up there and talk. Of course, that we know that's not going to happen. You know, but there's a fear. There's definitely a fear out there of a brokered convention from the establishment. And there's and here's an article I've got that I'll read to the folks that. I'll also put this in the chat. So give me a moment to do that for you. People would like to check it out. So that's one of the things I like about Blog Talk Radio and why I think Blog Talk Radio and Internet media is the new media of the 21st century. Because I think it's so much, you know, this kind of news and this kind of media is so much more interactive than, you know, watching the TV or, you know, the news on TV or even listening to it on the radio. I mean, you might get a shot to call in and say something, you know, for 10 minutes. You might wait on hold for almost 2 hours, you know, just to get in, you know, and then a lot of times you don't. So, but here it's very interactive. You could call in, you know, you're heard, or, you know, if you get tired of waiting to being on hold or you don't want to, you know, just uncomfortable talking on air, then you could always just put it in the chat aspect and then the host, you know, can go in and chime in that way. Okay, New Orleans Wake Up. Thank you, Virginia, for bookmarking that. It says, this whole system has been rigged from the very beginning in favor of the power elite. Even Newt will not go against his scripted presidential campaign. There's some truth and not so much truth in that. And let me tell you, and I'm not saying, you know, you're trying to say anything that you're lying. I'm saying this, is that I agree. I agree the whole system has been rigged from the very beginning in favor of the power elite. And, you know, and Romney represents that power elite. I agree. It says Newt will not go against his scripted presidential campaign. I think that Newt Gingrich is doing what he is doing because he believes so much in his ideas and his bold ideas and solutions for America that he's playing the part that needs to be played, because if he didn't, let's go back to the primaries. Okay, he tried to get his voices out and he was laughed, he was ridiculed at. I mean, you know what I find it ironic, and I'm going to digress for a little bit, is that when he was campaigning in Florida and he brings up about having a colony on the moon, oh my God, such a laughing stock. No one was even saying, he's like, you know, saying that, oh, well, that's showing he knows about American exceptionalism. You know, but now, oh, they're laughing at him. Oh, no. But you know what? There have been talk about people going on, you know, establishing a colony on the moon since, you know, in 2020, for a while now, before Newt even said it. And also, think of this. It's not just, you know, he's talking about competing with China, India, and Russia, because let me tell you, folks, India, China, and Russia are also talking about having a colony on the moon. And why is that? That is because there is an element on there called helium-3 that could be a very clean-burning fuel source. And whoever controls that fuel source can control the fuel of the future. Okay, so, you know, Newt Gingrich wasn't, you know, off in left field somewhere, you know, talking nonsense. That was actually true. So he's got some great ideas for America, bold ideas to show America's exceptionalism, but he was shut up, he was quieted, he was media blackout, okay, purposely done, by the direction of the Romney campaign and the RNC and the establishment. So Newt's still out there getting those ideas out, getting those solutions out to the public. To who? To the people. And think about that, folks. He has all these great ideas to the people that can help the people of America, and the RNC wants to shut him down so that they can put what New Orleans said, a power elite up there. That's what they did. Yes. Yes, New Orleans, wake up. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, wake up. Yes. That's what they did. So are we, the people, going to stand to do that? And, you know, and I firmly believe this in my heart of hearts, folks. They talk about the delegates. The delegates don't just have the future of the GOP and the party in their hands. What I truly think is I think they have the future of America in their hands. Okay? And I'm not trying to, you know, be dramatic about it, because, frankly, I'm not a dramatic guy. I'm really not. But, I mean, I'm a very passionate individual. Okay, I don't let my passions govern my reason, but I am a passionate man. Now, that the RNC is a thing. They were willing to block these great ideas, to put Newt in a blackout where his ideas won't be heard, of course, until we start, you know, propping, you know, saying stuff about Romney. Well, now he's got all this media time. Because you're right, the elites, but we the people need to, as I said, this is how Republicans can win. This is how it ties in the Republicans can win and beat Obama. Okay, that's what we want. We want Obama to be, you know. So, the fate is in the delegates' hands. And a lot of those delegates are the chairpersons of the state Republican Party. There's a chairwoman and there's a chairman who most likely are delegates. Contact them. Contact the RNC in general. Let them know of your displeasure. Let them know that it's we the people. I mean, Newt always said, I am having a people campaign. And think about that. The so-called, you know, conservative media, Rush Limbaugh, you know, Glenn Beck, Fox News, FAUX News, are shutting down by doing a media blackout, making fun of. I mean, look at Meg Kelly. Listen, go back and look at some of the ways Megyn Kelly was making fun of Newt, you know. And he's trying to get out ideas for the people, a people's campaign, and they want to shut down the people's campaign in favor of the big business, big money. You know, and I'm not one of the 1%ers, blah, 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 or 99%ers, blah, blah. I'm not a part of any of those groups, okay? I'm just addressing to what New Orleans Wake Up said. I'm going to go, okay, he's got, here is, well, let me go down, let's see. It says, Virginia puts big difference between being a party man and an establishment man. Romney is an establishment man. That's a very, exact, you know what, that's a very good point, Virginia. Very good point, okay, yes. Well, and let me speak to that. Thank you very much. I'm going to speak to that. Newt Gingrich. It's the Republican Party of Newt Gingrich is like it's like his child, okay. And like and even when people who have here in the audience who have children, if you have a child that goes awry, do you try to help them back? You try to bring them back to the fold, bring them back to what you think is right. That's what Newt Gingrich is trying to do. He's trying to bring the Republican Party back to what it's right. Okay? Now, back to conservatism, back to what they think is right. Okay? Now, but both, you know, literally and metaphorically. Now, the reason I say the Republican Party is like his child, the Republican Party, okay, would not be anywhere near it is now, especially in the House of Representatives. And I would say, you know, in the House of, you know, where they're at now power-wise, if it wasn't for Newt Gingrich. The Republican Party would not be in the position it is now if it wasn't for Newt Gingrich. He built the party. It's his. I mean, if you create something, you have a tie to it. I mean, I was frustrated with that because, you know, I'm like, my gosh, Newt, why are you still with these people? Especially if they stabbed him in the back, but he's still there. Because, yes, he is loyal to the party, okay, loyal to the party. And actually, I think it's not as much as he's loyal to the party. He's loyal to his principles, and he's loyal to the American people. Because he definitely doesn't think that the Democrat Party is good for the people, okay, and liberalism is good for the people, okay? He thinks that conservatism is good for the people, okay? And that is what we need. That is, and it's that kind of mindset, okay, that we need to beat Obama. That's what Republicans need to do. And the step to get there is through a broker convention. It's historically proven that people who don't go through a broker convention process lose in the general election. So if you truly want an Obama defeat, that's the step. That is the first step to get there. That is the first step. Now I'm going to go back to the chat here. And I don't want to get too off topic, but I'm going to read. It says, Barack Obama, this is from New Orleans, Wake Up. Barack Obama is in the face right now that the power elite needs. Oh, Barack Obama is the face right now that the power elite needs in order to expand their power and claim to natural resources in Africa. Okay, the corporate community is in an arms race against China for control of the richest piece of land on Earth, Africa. Okay, I'll address that because I'm not an expert on Africa. But first, let me see. Donna writes and says, I'm gonna address this first. Now, Donna puts in, Newt gets in. He will make sure the party is back on course. Yes, I truly believe that. He won't take up for people who tried to destroy him. Okay. And he's definitely, loyal to the party. And if Donna or anyone, they want to call in and be heard. If not, I understand. Okay, not everybody likes to be heard on the radio. But the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. Thank you very much. Now, I'd like to address, what New Orleans Wake Up put in, because I like to address what people put in the chat. However, I think I'd have to do more research on it, especially with, I do agree that Africa has much natural resources and is in an arms race against China for control of the richest piece of, I can see some validity in that. Oh, definitely. China is an up-and-coming big player that we really need to watch out for. That is true. And Donna put in, here's a book. It says, if you read Newt's book, A Nation Like No Other, Why American Exceptionalism Matters, you will see why he should be president without a doubt. Oh, hi, Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the chat. If you'd like to call in, please do. If not, if you just want to chime in the chat and put something in there, I will address it as best I may. And for people who do put things in the chat, if I don't cover it or if I don't see it or go over it, I want to apologize. Especially the more people in more chat, I can't, read it. Sometimes I'm looking at, other things when I'm talking, but I'll try to get to as many as I possibly can, and I appreciate that. And I'll address it real quick, is that, yes, there she is. China is up and coming, and that's why I think we need a strong. Here's the thing. I'm going to go off on a small tangent, just for a little bit, because I don't want to get off topic. I'm a realist. I subscribe to realism. Okay, and what I mean by that is I understand that there's powers in the world that someone is going to be the world's hegemony. Okay, there's going to be someone in the world who's going to be the world hegemony, okay? And my point is, and I'm going to make it short, it's either going to be China or it's going to be the United States, at least in our lifetime. In our lifetime, we could very well see where China becomes the preeminent power in the world. But things being as they are, there's going to be a preeminent power in the world, okay? And I'd much rather see it be United States of America than the People's Republic of China. And it's not the People's Republic. And you know what I mean by that, okay? The folks know what I'm talking about. It's not a People's Republic of China, okay? So, it's either the United States be the world power or China. Which one would you rather have? That's the fact. It's going to be one or the other. So which one would the world rather it be? Think on that. But getting back on topic, I want to go to an article that I was going to go to, and I'm going to put it in the chat once again, just in case I neglected to do so, and then if people can't scroll up. So, and also, what I'm going to do is, since there's some new people in the chat, I'm going to put my, okay, I apologize if people want to go to the direct link. Also, you can find on the homepage, but also you can check this out to the folks come in. That is my new website. I still have some work to do with it, some work on it. It's not 100% complete, and I will be updating it and things of that nature. So please feel free to check it out. So one of the people that are going to be on this Wednesday is going to be Ann Newsom, and if people who are here who have been working on or even still working for Newt Gingrich or in the grassroots capacity, know that Ann Newsom was, I believe, the I knew she was at least the South Carolina phone team captain for Newt Gingrich, and her and her husband have a culinary business, and she's going to share some recipes with us that night. And I have a link on my website to her website on the featured guests portion. I'm also in conversation with someone. I'm trying to get Arlen Williams in onto the show again for on Thursday night to talk about Agenda 21. So, you know, but I understand how, you know, people are busy. So that's what we're trying to get going here on Bard's Logic Political Talk. You know, please take some time. There is a contact. If you'd like to contact me on the show, go ahead. But also, if you'd like to follow the show, if you like the show, it's easy. You just go to the icon of the show, and underneath it has a little follow button. And if you just click on it, there you go. And you'll follow me, and I'd really appreciate it. I do believe, because I want to have some transparency here, I do believe that you do get email updates to say, oh, hey, you know, Bard's Logic Political Talk's on. Bard's Logic Political Talk's on. My mouth is dry, so it didn't come out right. So go ahead and check it out. But here's to this article, I'll put the link in before it disappears from the chat. It says, why GOP elites fear a brokered convention. Okay. It says, armies of GOP establishment-friendly commentators tell us the Republican primary process is ugly and self-destructive. Further, they insist, should Romney prove incapable of gathering the necessary delegates to secure a first ballot, horror of horrors, it will result in a tumultuous brokered convention. The big change in American politics over the past two decades has been the decline of fellowship, writes David Forum, the voice of the Republican establishment at CNN. Party members expect the party to serve them. One major reason that both parties have drifted to the ideological extremes since the 1970s. The expectation would only be intensified and concentrated in a party convention with Fox News and talk radio whipping and riling the delegates into angry emotionalism. A decision-making convention in modern times won't submit to the edicts of smoke-filled rooms. The delegates will want their own way. Does Frum strike you as a bit, well, elitist? Isn't the point of staging a convention so that delegates can vote to get their own way? If there is no clear winner in the first ballot, state delegations and grassroots activists will meet in smoke-filled rooms to a wheel and deal for a candidate that meets their ideological criteria and is thought to have been the best chance of defeating Barack, President Obama this November. Abraham Lincoln emerged from the 1860 Republican Convention in Chicago as the GOP's presidential nominee after three hard-fought ballots. The brokered convention eventually defeated a lawless rebellion. Now I'm going to repeat this. The brokered convention eventually defeated a lawless rebellion, erased the stain of slavery from our Constitution, and reassembled our Union of States. Not bad for a bunch of cigar-chomping guys in stovepipe hats, with a noisy anti-slavery wig referred to as radical, viewing all men as created equal, was decidedly outside the mainstream in its day. So why are Republican establishmentarians so frightened of a brokered convention? In his foreword to Greg Shirley's book, Reagan's Revolution, The Untold Story of the Campaign That Started It All, Fred Barnes, executive editor of the Weekly Standard, recalls the time when a defeated Ronald Reagan rose to address the delegates at the 1976 convention, the Republican Party last brokered conclave at the Kemper Arena at the Kemper's Arena in Kansas City. Gerald Ford and his allies expected Reagan to look like a loser, a humiliated foe. He didn't once he began speaking. Think about that, folks. That's why it's what we talked about earlier, about why Romney wouldn't want a Sarah Palin or a Newt Gingrich speaking at his convention. Okay. Give a moment to think on that. Now back to the article. I now know from Craig Shirley that Reagan spoke without notes. Huh, who else does that? But it did seem like was the case at the time. I thought Reagan, because he was so clear in what he was saying, must be reciting the text of what would have been his acceptance speech he had won the nomination. The audience, 15,000 people or so, was rapt. Some were weeping. Nobody got up. The arena was still. And Reagan was eloquent. It was obvious the delegates were his, the Reaganites and the Ford delegates. The Ford people were locked into backing an incumbent president of their party, but their hearts were with Reagan. In the time it took Reagan to speak, the Republican Party... And the brief Hello, folks. Sorry about that. One of the problems that we experience sometimes here is if there's a connection problem, sometimes it loses sound. I apologize for that. Can you hear now? I'm going to type in here. Can you hear me now? And yes, Virginia, I would really like if, oh, she left. Oh, she just left. Well, sorry, Doug. I'm sorry to lose her, and unfortunately that happens. Hopefully she will see when it's back. There you go. Thank you very much for chiming back in. So, excuse me. Well, I'll go ahead and get back to the article, and it just finishes up with, in light of all the above, it's clear why establishments are fearful. When the Fox Business Network's Eric Bolling recently asked Governor Sarah Palin if it does get to a brokered convention, and someone said, "Governor, would you be interested? Would you be interested?" If that is the case, all bets are off as to who the nominee will be. I would do whatever I could to help, replied Palin. Like Reagan, Palin would likely lose in a convention battle, but she would have some transformative words to say about the. Well, I disagree about that, but. Well, she might lose, I would say, like a Newt Gingrich or Ron Paul, so maybe I don't disagree. But, excuse me. So, yeah, so indeed, the establishment is afraid of a brokered convention. And I really wish I didn't lose Virginia. I really apologize to her for that and for anyone else out there for losing it. Sometimes that happens. I appreciate it. And hi, Red. Thank you again for coming in. So I believe I've got a friend's request on Facebook for you. So let me know if or you know I'll see if you decide to go ahead and friend me. Now at the time I'd like to start discussing people say about all of the people about broker conventions and things of that nature and supporting, who we support and not getting behind Romney is like, a vote for Obama, which isn't true. We would like to see Obama lose as well, so we just don't think that Mitt Romney can do it. And then went through a broker convention because of, the history, because of his record. And plus also, when Romney gets vetted, more fully by the mainstream media and the Obama campaign. I mean, they're just going to put so much stuff out there that I don't even think independents would vote for. So here's another gentleman who he's a Ron Paul supporter, but he is facing some of the same negativity that we are. So just to show that we're not out here, and it's good to see. I'll play. It's only about 5 minute total. But I think it is relevant to what a lot of us are going through out there. So enjoy.
I got an email here about my, I guess, supposed bashing of Mitt Romney. It comes from Bill in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He said, Jerry, like you, Ron Paul is a favorite of mine. However, he isn't going to be the candidate. So I ask that you suck it up and quit bath-mouthing Mitt Romney. Continue to support Senator Paul, but your railing against Romney makes you look rather small. Does it really? It makes me look small if I continue to back the guy that I endorsed back in December, the only nationally syndicated talk show host to do so. Other talk show hosts endorsed Rick Santorum, 999 Herman Cain, the Texas idiot, oops, himself, Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, the list goes on. But now I'm seeing all of them suddenly have this epiphany that, well, the guy that I was behind, whether they had the guts to say so or not, but you could tell informally when they were, even though they wouldn't say it, because they want to be around to say, well, I've always supported Mitt Romney. You know, I questioned him, and I challenged him, and I pushed him, and I, you know, and I think that that kind of made him a stronger candidate. Really? Hey, Bill, in Michigan, if Ron Paul is your favorite, why would you turn on your favorite? Why wouldn't you push for your favorite? Why wouldn't you back your favorite? Why would you back away? Because you want to be relevant? Is that it? You want to be a player? You want to be in the game? And that's the game, folks. I'm watching Ed Rollins and Karl Rove and all the other Republican tools out there that are now coming forward with the heaping praises of Mitt Romney. Did you see his speech last night? I think it was the best speech, the best political speech of his 6 years in his attempt to become the president of the United States. Mitt Romney hit it out of the ballpark. Mitt Romney struck all the right tones. Mitt Romney this, Mitt Romney that. The same guy who was the well-lubricated weather vane who would blow wherever the winds of directional change took him. Rudy Giuliani. The worst guy you could have is Mitt Romney. Now, endorsing Mitt Romney. Why? Because Mitt Romney's changed? No, because what's changed is Mitt Romney's the nominee. The Romney. And these people just want to remain relevant. They have no core convictions. They have no principles. They have no belief in real change. The only thing they want to be is relevant. They want to be in the game. Now, Bill in Michigan goes on to say that, well, the election is important to the United States, and getting rid of the D.C. crowd is most important. Really? If you want to get rid of the D.C. crowd, why would you go with Mitt the establishment as opposed to Ron Paul the movement? He said, we need a moral businessman. Romney fits the bill. Okay. Moral businessman? Let's see how that gets played out by the Democrats. He said it would be nice to have Ron Paul as an advisor, and he thinks that that's a possibility. And he puts a P.S. in this email. He said, I have my hands full here trying to get rid of Stabenow. That would be Debbie Stabenow. Thing is, Mitt Romney is not the guy to beat Obama. And even if we put somebody like Ron Paul up against Obama and Ron Paul lost, the movement wouldn't be lost. The only thing we're moving forward right now, Jerry, in Georgia, is the status quo. That's the only thing that's going to be rewarded at the ballot box. So when you give me your stupid comments about how, why don't you just come out and say you're for Obama, either you're stupid or you're ignorant or both, because you just don't get it. You're a part of the problem, Jerry. You shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's how stupid you are. You don't understand that you're getting sold out day in and day out. Ooh, take one for the team, Jerry. Vote for Mitt Romney. He's the guy that's going to set you free. You should free yourself from you being in a straitjacket of the status quo. You should free your mind to the possibilities that, yeah, maybe it'll get ugly. Maybe it'll get a little uneven. Maybe there'll be some problems. And maybe we're going to have to do more than we'd like to do to get out of our comfort zone of Democrat or Republican, Republican or Democrat, because the two-party system is selling you down the river. And the sooner you wake up to that, the sooner you should be allowed to vote. But if you continue to think along the same stupid lines that you do, you're a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. Now get off my show and go be stupid somewhere else.
Okay, folks. Now, personally, I would never handle a caller in that manner, but the points are, you know, the points you make are valid. And I used that clip, one, as I said, to, you know, show that we're not the only ones out there dealing with, you know, people saying, you know, what he just, you know, illustrated. But also as a good segue to an article that I have here that it says, I'm not even going to say which blog it's from because I don't want to give him any credit, to be honest. So I've got some things I'm going to read, and then I'm going to rail on it because I think in a way they're right, but I think they're wrong with the same step, and I'll explain that, you know, in due course. So and when I say that, you know, to you know take that with a grain of salt because I mean I don't think that I think they're right in a way, but I think that the substance of it is wrong, and I'll explain it to you. Says election 2012. Don't tap dance in the minefield. Says when it comes to this election, the most important election since 1860, far too many conservatives are asking the wrong questions, or I believe taking the wrong stance. It's a problem born of far too many years and decades of complacency. It's exactly what liberals have been laying the groundwork for throughout those years and decades. To avoid the trap, one must realize there is a trap. See the trap and when the steps to avoid that trap. As we are but 3.5 months away from this election, the time is now to identify the trap and steer conservatives away from falling prey to it. Conservatives, put your bias aside and open your eyes. Open them wide and you too will see through the darkness. Here we go. I hear and read too far many conservatives asking regarding certain issues. So who will you do anything about it? There are, of course, variations of this question. Why won't Congress do something? Congress knows about this, but they won't do anything about it. What good is it to point out what we already know since nothing can be done about it? You get the idea? Here's the deal. Since when do we place the question for solutions solely in the hands of Congress? Okay, you might wonder why this has anything to do with anything, but it does. It goes into it. Okay. So, and I'll just skip out of that part if that's really not. You know, sorry. Okay, these says, this is more to the point of what we've been talking about. So, let's say this before I get on with this article. Is that we are being heard here. We aren't just, you know, people talking in the wilderness and no one is hearing us about a brokered convention, about Romney and Obama pretty much being the same. Keep on being, you know, get the message out to more people. And, you know, bring it over to the show. Bring them over to my show and Sammy's show. Bring them over to the conservative conversation. You know, send them to the website. I've got a couple links on there that, you know, not links right now, but videos right there for them to look at, okay? Spread the word. And the word is getting out there. We're just not people here talking in the wilderness. And this is why I say that. It says, other stuff I've heard far too much lately. And it's from the same article on the blog. It says, Romney is no different than Obama. A vote for Romney is a vote for Obama. I'm going to vote for Newt or Paul or whoever, but not Romney because I'm voting for liberty. We're going to have a brokered convention and my candidate will get the nomination. First of all, the chance that we're going to see a brokered convention is slim to none, and Slim just rode out of town. If it happens, so be it, but don't hold your breath or you'll turn as blue as a New England state. A week or so ago, I had a phone conversation with Sam Tittle. She's running for president, and she asked my advice regarding an upcoming speech she was giving. She wanted to know about how she could get people to vote for her. Here's what I told Sam. She has the right ideas. She's a constitutional conservative, and I don't disagree with her platform. I told Sam that because there will be two candidates with nationwide name recognition on the ballot in November, whether or not she makes it on the ballot as a third party or as a write-in candidate, the best thing she could tell people in her speech was, hello, my name is Sam Tittle, blah, blah, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so that really doesn't have a... It says, if you don't think there is But here's where I'm going to start railing on this guy, okay, and what he's got here. And also there's some things in the chat I want to address. I mean, not the chat. Things in the replies that people wrote that I'm going to address. Okay? So it says, if you don't think there is any difference between gentlemen in the chat, New Orleans, wake up. If you want to speak to any of these, that's fine, because I'm going to, as I said, I want to keep things on topic. Yeah, you know, so I don't know what link you're looking for, and I'll look at it and maybe put it in there as long as, you know, it's cogent. So, or it goes along with, you know, what the topic is tonight. So, but I think I want to, you know, listen to this and then go from there. So anyway, it says, if you don't think that there's any difference between Romney and Obama, rather than go into each and every issue, of course, this person is not going to go into each and every issue. He's only going to cover the ones where he thinks Romney needs to be different than Obama. You know, that's a tactic that, you know, I can't believe that he thinks people would fall for. But anyway, if we hire the right people in Congress, majority of Republicans in both House and Senate, guess what? Romney will sign legislation passed by them into law. Obama won't. Let me do that point. If we hire the right people in Congress, a majority of Republicans, both House and Senate, guess what? Romney will sign legislation into law. Really? He will be the flip-flopper in chief. Is he proven that he could be someone that can be counted on to do anything? No, he hasn't. You can't count on the man. He's flip-flopped so much, you don't know what he's going to do. You can't say, you know what? You do not have any proof. You have, sir, you have no proof that Romney would sign any of that legislation. You don't have it. Look at his record. His record doesn't prove it. Okay, well, look what he's saying during a Republican election. Well, yeah, of course. He's going to say those things and have those things on his website during a Republican convention. Okay, he's a chameleon. He's going to say and do whatever he, you know, thinks is necessary to, you know, con people out of their vote, to con people to think that he's actually a conservative. So there's no proof there that he would do that. Romney will sign a budget which is passed in the House and instead of being shelved in the Senate, passed there too. Well, that's again. Look at his record in Massachusetts. Look at it. Where's your proof? These are just words. You know, if you're going to be making these kind of statements, put some proof into that. Romney will, with the assistance of a willing Congress, repeal Obamacare. Right. And change it with what? Romney Care? Which is the parent of Obamacare? Really? It's not just about, okay, we're repealing Obamacare. That's a big part of it. But what are you going to change with it? Oh, that's right. You don't have a plan for that. Oh, that's right. He hasn't said anything about it. Oh, that's right. He's even said, and I can, you know, play a clip that's got a part of it in, but said he would like to see something, what he put in Massachusetts, in for the nation. We've even heard him say he'd like, you know, say exactly that. Now, one thing that I guess, you know, says, Romney won't bow to foreign leaders, won't turn his back on our allies, won't offer encouragement to our enemies, and won't apologize for American exceptionalism. Okay? Now, let me take these either one. Won't bow to foreign leaders. Well, of course he's not going to bow to foreign leaders. I'll contend this. He won't even go to foreign leaders. He'll send some lackey, not lackey, I shouldn't say that's disrespectful for who I think, this, you know, for whoever the Secretary of State is going to be. He'll send the Secretary of State over to talk to foreign leaders. He won't do it. Let's see. Won't turn his back on our allies. Okay. In what fashion? In what fashion will he not turn his back on them? He has no foreign policy experience. How do we know how he's going to act? We can only go by what he's saying during what? A Republican election cycle. And won't apologize for American exceptionalism. Of course he's not going to apologize for American exceptionalism. Why would he apologize for something that he never talks about? I don't hear him talking about American exceptionalism. You know, I don't hear that from Romney. Okay? Yeah, he's not going to apologize for it, but neither is he going to talk about it. Okay, continues. Obama will, okay, do what you said. Still think there's no difference between the two? Yeah, I think I kind of pointed those out. Says, if you, as conservatives, vote for Paul, Tittle, Dumit, Palin, Newt, or whoever this November, congratulations. You'd be stepping directly into the trap. Obama is counting on you. You are the only chance to win. That's just the vote, blue vote. And every vote for someone other than Romney helps Obama win, and he knows it. You know, it's not... December 17, 2011, from the... okay, got an article. I don't have a link. But it says Google... I can't Google it, but if someone can Google it in the chat, I'll go to it. Says, Newt is not anti-Romney from the Washington Times. Okay, well, let's play that. Let's say Newt is not anti-Romney. That's fine. I am. A lot of people I talk to are. See, Newt, what Gingrich is to me is he represents my values. He is a represent of my ideology. Now, if the time ever came where he went away from those, I would never view Newt as my leader and representative. So that's fine. I mean, Newt is his own man. He doesn't have to be anti-Romney. That's fine. My point is I am, and this is why. You know, and if people want to chime in and say why they are. And, you know, so fine. I mean, they can say, oh, he's not anti-Romney. That's fine. That's okay because I am. And here's, you know, I'm anti-Romney because of the lies, of the chicanery, okay, that has been done, of the voter suppression that has been done, the disenfranchising that has been done in this campaign by Mitt Romney's campaign and those people who are propping him up. That's what I'm anti. You know, I'm anti-moderate. I'm anti-liberal. And let me tell you, all these things I just said, those are what Romney represents. That's why I'm anti-Romney. So, now he's talking about a trap, falling into the trap. You know what he's trying to do? You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to set up conservatives once again. But let me tell you, I doubt if this guy's a conservative. I really do. Because a conservative wouldn't be saying these kind of things. They simply wouldn't. And the reason I say that is because he's looking at the wrong people. The people who have set this trap is the RNC. Okay, you know, I'll take that back. You know, maybe I'm being a little critical, which, you know, maybe I have a tendency to do, and saying that the guy's not a conservative. Perhaps he's a conservative, but he's misguided. Okay, and the reason why, or misinformed. And the reason why I say those two things is that you have a liberal, a moderate, and Romney. And it is the RNC. See, that's what he wants to do. He wants to blame the conservatives. And maybe I'll get back to my point where I was saying maybe he is a moderate, not a conservative. Maybe not. I don't want to be too hasty to judge. But would a true conservative say, hey, conservatives, if Romney doesn't win in November, it's your fault? See, they're already setting up to blame the conservatives for Romney wins. It's not, you know, Romney's divisiveness. It's not the fact that the RNC and the GOP establishment propped and the so-called conservative media like Rush Limbaugh, Fox News, and Glenn Beck propped up a candidate such as Romney. No, it's not their fault for lying. It's not their fault for putting voter suppression. It's not their fault for putting media blackout on true conservatives. It's not their fault for making fun of who was the true conservative. It's not their fault that they put, you know, they put out the narrative that Romney was the only one who could beat Obama, which now we know that is not true. But it's, tell me, sir, how it's the conservatives' fault, how it's the conservatives falling into a liberal trap. The trap that is being set is not being done by the liberals. The trap that is being set is not being done by the Democrats. The trap that is being set is being done by the Republican Party itself. And normally, I don't get upset like this. Normally, I'm a very unimpassioned, I'm a passionate guy, but normally I'm a very unemotional guy. But to try to blame the conservatives, but to try to blame us, okay, for Romney getting defeated, trying to give us the blame, when the blame is for them for propping up such a candidate that we cannot once again swallow. We cannot accept Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is a thing of us to us. He is a conservative in liberal or moderate's clothing. Look, here's the thing. We know Obama is a socialist, and he doesn't hide it. But Romney is a moderate to liberal, and he tries to hide it behind conservatives. And then this guy has the gall to try to start switching the blame of a Romney loss on conservatives. No, if Mitt Romney becomes the nominee and when he loses, it is going to be their fault. It is going to be the RNC's fault. It is going to be the establishment's fault. It's going to be the so-called conservative media's fault for a loss in another 4 years of Obama. The only way to victory is not through Mitt Romney. It's through a brokered convention, and that is the first step. Take the Republicans need to take to beat Barack Obama. And now, what I'm going to do now, if I got a little loud on people and a little impassioned, I don't normally do that, but when you hear things like that, people trying to misconstrue the truth. Okay, and then this guy tries to. Blah, 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 try to tell people what to do. And I'm just going to go down to the comments. And here we go. Let me scroll down. First one, this excellent post, now spread this message. Spread it, the message with some commentary that I would like to put in there. Okay. Someone put here, Donna put about the Washington Times. Good liberal newspaper. I believe Austin Newton knows what to say and to keep the RNC report. Indeed. Now, other person says, I like what you were saying, and I posted it on my wall on Facebook, but I told my readers to please ignore what you say about Romney. We are Ron Paul supporters, and according to the RNC rules, Ron Paul will be on the ballot. And the first votes, and up for nomination. I refuse to stand by a lesser of two evils. As far as I'm concerned, Romney is evil. Ron Paul is the only one who will fix his country and has fought for us through the years. Ron Paul has my vote 2012. Okay. Well, I'm a Newt Gingrich supporter, but, I'm an anybody but Romney guy. But we need, as you see, seen earlier in the show, that it's going to take, and the history has shown it. This is, as I said last night, in the last night's show, and I recommend people who listen to this on the archive, perhaps check out last night's show. You don't even have to listen to all of it. Just click here and there and listen to the parts of it, that are relevant to this. But I'm not just saying that, a broker convention is the way to go because, I like and I support Newt Gingrich. So I think the only way that, the Republicans can win in November is they have a broker convention. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm not saying it, because he's my, he's my candidate. And frankly, for me, he's my nominee. Now, the reason I say that it needs to be a brokering convention isn't because I support Newt Gingrich. It's because history shows it. It's proven in fact. It's proven in history. It's not my opinion that these things happen or these things have happened. It's historical fact. There has not been a moderate to liberal Republican who has won in a general election in 40 years. You can go way farther than that, and it shows the Republican nominees that win after the first ballot are not incumbents, lose in the general election. So take from that and learn. because those who do not learn from the mistakes of the past are doomed to repeat them. And that is what the Republican Party is setting themselves up to do. They are setting themselves up to lose again, not because I support Newt Gingrich, not because I think a broker convention is the best way to Newt Gingrich to be the nominee, but because history tells us, and we should learn from history so that we don't make the same mistake, that if you do this, this is what's going to happen. To change it. Change the course. That's what the Republicans can do to help defeat Barack Obama. Change the course. How do you change the course? Talk to every single person you know. Motivate them. Tell them. Get a hold of your state committee chairwoman, chairman, because there's a good chance that they are delegates. Heck, find out how to contact the delegates themselves. Write a nice letter. Tell them that you are upset of what has been going on in this process. Call them on it. Tell them you know what they've been up to. Tell them to open the door for an open convention. And it can happen. Definitely. If anyone wants to, put any comments in the chat to that, or I could play some clips to show about the broker convention, or the delegate count for that matter. So Red Tracy, matches. She must be a redhead. Reddish brown, straight from the henna plant. I like redheads. That's actually my favorite hair color. But anyway, I digress. Now, back to the comments. Okay. Now, this one person puts, "Damn, someone who actually gets it. We are personally responsible for who runs our country. We are responsible not only to elect our representatives in Congress, but also to stay in their arses and make them follow our wishes. If they do not, it is our responsibility to vote them out of office. This is supposed to be the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But with the people have taken ourselves out of the equation, complacency and laziness." Well, this person didn't touch on a point without even realizing it, I think, is that we the people. Which candidate said they were a candidate of the people? Newt Gingrich. Was it Romney? No. If this is going to be a people's campaign, the Republicans must, if they want to win, have it to be a people's campaign. And it's not going to be a people's campaign with a candidate such as Romney, because let me tell you, the independents, they see Romney as an elitist, especially when he's not showing his tax returns. Okay, there's questions about his time at Bain Capital. There's questions about his times when he left Bain Capital and if he still had any managerial control over it while he was working at the Olympics. There's questions on if he had anything to do with Medicaid fraud or Medicare fraud. Okay, while Bain Capital was managing Damon Corporation. There's questions that, is it better for these things to come out now before the convention so that we can have a leader? These are the steps to take, for the Republicans to beat Obama. Now, see if we find a couple more here. This one says, about conservatives. It says, "The one thing that conservatives need to understand and always remember, the left will only put up with one person any election, and their voters will always vote for only that person. Conservatives are the only voters that will split their vote. Thus, the left will always win because we conservatives will always find something wrong with every candidate except the one we agree with." Here we go. Now, it is far past time that conservatives realize this and agree not to sling mud against their brothers and sisters who are running against in primaries. By doing so, we may end up being the one on the ballot, but then not every conservative will vote, but the liberals will, and they always win because we shot ourselves in the foot. Okay. Well, yeah, if there was any candidate that was the biggest mudslinger and breaker of Reagan's 11th commandment, that was Mitt Romney. And talking about splitting the vote, by voting for Romney, is that really a vote for a conservative? No, I wouldn't say. I would say it's not, because Romney's not a conservative. You know, and the reason why that we kind of split our vote and we look for a better person is that, at least I've always used to think, I think the Republican members, I think the members of the Republican Party are principled, and they're looking for a principled person. I don't think that, you know, Democrats are as principled, you know, because they, you know, I think they're more willing to put party before principle instead of principles before party. And I think that's why, you know, and here's the thing. It's not that the Republican Party split. I'm not the Republican Party, well, that too. But the conservatives are split, is that you have the conservatives splitting from the establishment and the, you know, RNC. Now, that's what people need to realize. Stop blaming conservatives. It's not the conservatives' fault. That's the trap of the guy we were talking about earlier. It's the RNC. It's the establishment. It's their fault for propping up and doing what they have done in order to prop up that kind of candidate that the conservatives are tired of voting for. How many times have you heard, oh, just to go to vote for the lesser of two evils? I've heard so many people say, you know what, I'm tired of voting for evil. I don't want to vote for evil anymore. Well, if you don't want to vote for evil anymore, folks, write your convention people. Write the delegates. Tell everybody you know, okay? If you are a Tea Party member, motivate your Tea Party to get out there and do what needs to be done, okay? That's why the Tea Party was so successful in 2010. We need that. We need the Tea Party, but we need the Tea Party to stand behind the principles that they stood behind in 2010. And let me tell you, you know, endorsing Mitt Romney is not standing by your principles. You know, a vote for someone else is not a vote for Obama. You know, if someone says, oh, if you write in Newt Gingrich, you know, that's a vote for Obama. No. If I vote for Newt Gingrich, my vote is for Newt Gingrich. That's who it is. Oh, well, in essence, no. No. My vote is for this person. That is what the essence is. That is what the fact is. That's the person I vote for. That's why I say, you know, Gingrich is my nominee. I mean, so, if someone in their conscience feels that they have to vote for Romney, that's them. And I respect their decision, okay? However, respect my decision on saying that, you know, unless Newt Gingrich is on the ticket, I won't be voting for that ticket. I'll write Newt Gingrich's name in, or, you know, and then I'll, you know, vote for the Republicans I believe in the House and Senate. That's how it's going to be. You know, because, you know, principles, you know, and I think that's part of the problem of the Republican Party. They've moved away from the principles. You know. Let's go. Check the chat. This is annoying because I'm afraid of the reaction of the anti-Obama group and people when Obama gets reelected. That worries me. The backlash that will take place across the country. You know, I do not want an Obama reelection. Obama has been horrible for this country. And he also continues, says, I'm afraid people will lash out at the wrong people. Well, I hope that doesn't happen. Because I share the true capitalists need to use Obama for the larger objective. He will win again. Well, you know, New Orleans, wake up. If we don't get to the broker convention and Romney does become the nominee, I can stand here telling you now that Obama will be reelected. And I think that would definitely not be good for this country. So let me go further. says the anti-Obama people aren't violent. This is from Lisa. On the other hand, many of the Obama people have proven to be violent. And that is true. I mean, look at the voter suppression. I'm talking about in violent manners by, who were they? The Black Panthers trying to do voter intimidation to keep people from voting. You know, what about that? And then Eric Holder refusing to prosecute people who were engaging in those acts. So, I mean, that's the violence I see. I don't see any violence on the anti-Obama people. I haven't seen it. So, you know, I don't see any proof of that, but I do see proof of Obama support of it who've gotten violent. So. Anyway, let's see if there's any more of these. I'd like to connect to them. Oh, wow. That was too long, and unfortunately I'm running out of time. Maybe I'll keep this article and read. Oh, I got a holder, somebody who just called in, and I only have I want to give them all I have to respectfully. If not, frankly, I'll boot you off. So, Bubba Ford, go ahead and chime in.
Hey, Bars Political Talk. This is Jared, you know, Brother Warren from New Orleans. Wake up. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Well, basically what I was trying to do in my comments, I was not trying to divert from your topic on the broker convention.
Yeah, let's not divert from the topic. I really don't like to do that. Go ahead.
Right, the broker convention. But basically, I'm just looking at how when Barack Obama was elected 4 years ago, you saw the same type of rumblings within the Democratic Party. And then you saw that the...
What type of rumblings? Can you elaborate on the rumblings?
Wait, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
I apologize. I said, can you elaborate on the rumblings? You said you heard a lot of the rumblings from the Republican Party.
I'm saying the same type of things were occurring in the Democratic Party 4 years ago that I'm learning that is possibly taking place in the Republican Party now. And the point is this, is that the large corporate donors control both parties. So whatever they want, they will get, no matter what the sentiment of the people are on the ground.
Well, I think that's especially true in this election, especially when it comes when you look at some of the same people that have donated to Obama have donated to Mitt Romney. Same people.
Yeah. One donor is Sheldon Adelson, who was a Newt Gingrich donor, and then Newt Gingrich encouraged him to support and donate to Mitt Romney.
Well, I don't know if he supported him donating Mitt Romney. I'm saying that he did switch over. But see, here's the thing: is these people like you just suggested the when it looks like it, you know, that's why I'm not a fan at all of Fairweather Friends. You know what I mean? Because I know I'm definitely not one of them. So, and Adelson, yeah, he went for Newt because he thought Newt could win. And then when it started looking like Newt Gingrich wasn't going to get the nomination, then he switched over to Romney. But whether, you know, Newt Gingrich said, oh, well, go ahead and, you know, Adelson, go over there. And now I know he made statements of fact that that's what he was going to do, you know, that's what Adelson was going to do. But whether he, told him to go ahead and do that or go over there, I'd have to see that for myself. But go ahead, Jared.
Right. No, I was just saying, I just enjoy your show, and I learn a lot about the issues that are taking place in this case, the Republican Party. But like I said, my contention is that people are encouraged to have faith in individuals, and this country is run by organized corporations and collective wealth. An individual person will not go up against that type of force. So when we have faith in whether it's Barack Obama or whether it's Newt Gingrich, I think we missed the point. We missed the point of what really controls the American system.
Okay. Well, and I'm not saying there's no validity. I think there's a lot of big money. I mean, the people really do need to get the power back, you know, for themselves. And, you know, I think they've been – I mean, not with the person in the article I read talked about the complacency. I do believe so. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that, you know – I'm not trying to really blast people who watch reality shows, but or what I call the non-reality reality shows. You know what I mean?
Okay, Robert, I'll continue the discussion as you close out. Thanks.
What's that?
I'll continue to listen as you close out. Thank
okay,
you.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you. Actually, I'm getting ready to close out in literally a minute, and I really appreciate your call. And real quick, when is your next show on? Because I'd like to, if I could find some time to get on at some point.
My next show will be Thursday, and I'll be looking at the radical Martin Luther King. So I have a professor who talks about the hidden side of Martin Luther King that is not allowed to be shown to other people.
I see. And what time is the show?
That is going to be 6 o'clock.
Is that Eastern
Central time.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming in. If people, you know, would like to do that, go ahead. One thing I like to do on my show is promote others, especially if they come in and if they're, you know, nice enough to call in and if they're civil and have a civil conversation. That's one thing that I promote. Then I don't mind, you know, talking about the show because people could go in, they can listen to Jared's show or my show or whoever's and make up their own mind on whether that's information that they, you know, agree with or, you know, want to support, you know, because that's part of being America. So I thank you very much. And at this time, go ahead. No, I only got literally less than 2 minutes or
I'm going to listen. I'll continue to listen. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just going to play my closing song, but thank you very much because I really love this music. You can actually link on my dashboard. I suggest maybe checking it out. So I'd like to thank everybody who came in the chat, thank people who called in. Also like to thank the people on archive. It will be, you know, listen to it on the archive and listen to it live. So thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night. Take care. And enjoy the song from Aubrey Ashburn.